Hey there, podcast listeners. Nadia Raymond here. So are you into funny, insightful stories about how the world works? Well, so is Planet Money, so you should check it out too. They bring you stories about building the song of the summer, plus useful stuff like how to steal a million barrels of oil. Get Planet Money at npr.org/podcasts and on the NPR One app.
Welcome to the StoryCorps podcast. I'm Michael Garofalo, and sitting with me is Jasmine Belcher-Morris, one of our producers. Hi, Jasmine.
Hi, Michael.
In this episode, we're going to be talking about one of my favorite places in the world, Coney Island. Now, if you don't know, Coney Island is in Brooklyn. There's a beach there, a boardwalk, Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs, and the hot dog eating contest is there. It's this kind of quirky place with this really rich, colorful, and sometimes bizarre history. And part of that are these sideshows that Coney Island used to be famous for.
And actually, one of those sideshows is the only reason I'm alive today.
Well, you're going to have to explain that.
So I'm an identical twin. We were born a month early, and we were only about 4 pounds, so we had to be placed in incubators. It turns out the guy who pioneered the incubator used to display his incubator babies at a sideshow in Coney Island. His name was Dr. Martin Cooney. And he had brought incubators to the U.S. from Europe in the early 1900s, but the medical establishment thought he was a quack. So each summer for 40 years, he funded his work by displaying the babies at Coney Island and charging admission.
So next to the sideshows that featured tattooed ladies and sword swallowers, people would actually pay money to look at these tiny babies?
Yeah. It cost 25 cents to enter the exhibit.
And what about the parents? Did they have to pay for the medical care?
No. Dr. Cooney prided himself on the fact that he never took a dime from parents.
So almost unbelievably, we're going to hear now from one of Dr. Cooney's incubator babies.
Yeah, her name is Lucille Horn, and she's 95 years old. She was born premature in 1920, and she sat down with her daughter, Barbara, to talk about how she ended up in one of Dr. Cooney's incubators.
My father said I was so tiny, he could hold me in his hand. I think I was only about 2 pounds, and I couldn't live on my own. I was too weak to survive.
So the hospital didn't have anything to offer?
No, they didn't have any hope for me at all. It was just, you die because you didn't belong in the world. So when I was born, my father was looking for a blanket or a towel to wrap me up. And then somebody said, where are you going? He said, I'm taking you to the incubator in Coney Island. The doctor said, there's not a chance in hell that she'll live. He said, but she's alive now. He hailed a taxi cab and took me to Dr. Cooney's exhibit. And that's where I stayed for about 6 months.
Do you know how your parents knew about the incubators?
They saw the exhibit on their honeymoon. You had to pay to go in, and then the babies would be all lined up.
How do you feel knowing that people paid to see you?
It's strange, but as long as they saw me and I was alive, it was all right. I think it was definitely more of a freak show, something that they ordinarily did not see. But I remember going when I was older to see the babies.
You met Dr. Cooney, right?
Yes, he happened to be there at the time I went in. And I went over and I introduced myself to him. And there was a man standing in front of one of the incubators looking at his baby. And Dr. Cooney went over to him and he tapped him on the shoulder. And he said, look at this young lady. She's one of our babies. And that's how your baby's going to grow up. I remember he gave me a hug before I left. You know, there weren't many doctors then that would have done anything for me. 94 years later, here I am. All in one piece. And I'm thankful to be here.
That's 95-year-old Lucille Horn, who is one of the incubator babies of Coney Island, with her daughter Barbara in Long Beach, New York.
Something else that we should mention is that Lucille was born a twin. Unfortunately, her twin didn't make it at birth. And when her father was rushing her off to Coney Island, the doctors stopped him and said, wait, no, you have to bury them together. And this was something that Lucille talked about quite a bit in her interview.
Do we know how many babies Dr. Cooney actually took care of?
Well, according to news reports at the time, at least 8,000 babies passed through his incubators, and he's credited with saving at least 6,500.
So he did this for 40 years with his exhibition. I know he also took them to other places besides Coney Island, like Atlantic City and
World Fairs.
Right. So what happened to him?
Unfortunately, despite saving thousands of babies, he died broke and relatively unknown in 1950, which is shortly after incubators had been introduced to most U.S. hospitals.
So does he get any credit at all?
There is a bronze tablet on the boardwalk in Atlantic City to mark the site of his old shows. It says Dr. Cooney was the first person in the United States to offer specialized care for premature infants.
And we have a photo of Dr. Cooney on our website.
Yeah, I got these photos from another incubator baby that I spoke with. Her name is Beth Allen, and she provided us photos that her father took of her in 1941 while she was in the incubator. You can see a photo of Dr. Cooney holding her. You can see the front of the exhibit as well as what it looked like when spectators were sort of looking in on these incubators.
And you can see those on StoryCorps.org. Well, Jasmine, thanks so much for coming on and sharing Lucille's story.
Thanks, Michael.
Every night she comes to take me out to dreamland. When I'm with her, I'm the richest man in the town. She's a rose, she's a pearl, she's a spin on my world. All the stars make their wishes on her eyes. She's my Coney Island, baby. She's my Coney Island girl.
Our next story is also a Coney Island story, but it's not from StoryCorps. Dave Isay, the founder of StoryCorps, used to make radio documentaries, and this is one of the short ones that he made with a producer named David Miller. It's about the Thunderbolt roller coaster, which was a Coney Island landmark until the city tore it down unexpectedly back in the year 2000. The thing most people remember about the Thunderbolt is that there was a house directly beneath it. And if you've seen the movie Annie Hall, you may remember that Woody Allen's character is supposed to have grown up there.
My analyst says I exaggerate my childhood memories, but I swear I was brought up underneath the roller coaster in the Coney Island section of Brooklyn. Maybe that accounts for my personality, which is a little nervous, I think.
Now, this was a joke for Woody Allen, but for a woman named May Timpano, it was real life. In 1946, she was working as a waitress on Coney Island and met Fred Moran, who owned and operated the Thunderbolt and lived in the house below it. They fell in love, and for 40 years, they lived together in the house under the roller coaster. Here's May.
It's hard to say how you get to know a person when you're waiting on them 7 days a week. I knew Freddie. I got to know Freddie because he came in every morning and every afternoon. And then when we got friendly, he was in pretty near every 3-4 hours. He was big and heavy. I didn't care. He was. I liked him. I liked his personality. He was funny. He was good to me. Whenever he would put his arms around me, I feel the world can. Nobody could hurt me. I went out with him a few times, and then one night he came and he says, when you finish, you want to come up my house? I said, where do you live? He says, under the roller coaster. And I said, you're kidding. He says, no, no. He says, I'll pick you up and we'll go to my house. He says, okay. So we went over to the house. I was hungry, so he went over to Nathan's to get frankfurters and french fries. And he had a bottle of Remy Martin's brandy. And we were sipping that, listening to records. That's how it started. And then for 40 years, we had a lot of fun together. The cyclone has a bigger dip, a bigger fall. The Thunderbolt was rougher in the turns. You know, when you went down, you bounced out of the car almost. The car would be practically sideways. If you were a stranger and you come in the house and you would hear it go over, you'd say, what's that, thunder? You know, it sounded like thunder. Few things, you know, broke. My perfume tray fell off one time. Pictures would be a little slanty. Not much. I have wall-to-wall mirrors. 3 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, a large living room, dining room, kitchen. But it was like living in the country. I was in the country in the middle of the city. I got a call from California. A man out in California called me. And he says, May, do you know what they're doing today? And I said, no. He says, go down to Coney Island. They're tearing your house down. I said, you're kidding. He said, no. I didn't own it anymore. I got dressed, I went down, and sure enough, they were tearing the house down. Sad standing there looking at it. It seemed like all my memories just wiped out. But everything changes. I don't know if it was for the better. We'll see when they park the cars there. It looks like it's going to be a parking lot. Lots of times, you know, I think of this, and before you know it, I'm in tears, and I say, no, I want to get away from that, you know. It's very sad thinking back, you know, on it. I don't want to remember anymore.
Oh, to live on Sugar Mountain with the barkers and the colored balloons.
That was May Timpano talking about living underneath the Thunderbolt roller coaster at Coney Island. That story was produced by David Miller for Sound Portraits Productions and originally ran on Morning Edition in September of 2001.
Take an old shoebox, pack it up with lunch, because on the beach the bunch likes to munch. You won't have to season the carrots and peas. There's garlic and cheese in the ocean breeze in Coney Island.
In Coney Island.
It's so continental in Coney Island.
That's it for this episode of the StoryCorps podcast. I encourage you to head to Coney Island if you're in New York or coming to New York this summer. Go to Nathan's, get a hot dog, ride the Wonder Wheel. There's nothing like it. Until next time, I'm Michael Garofalo. Thanks for listening.
You don't have to run to Miami down south. Here you get the same sand in your ear and your mouth. Here you sit in the sun, don't cost a cent. Since Billy B. Bosch in the event for Brent in Coney Island.
In Coney Island.
Hey there, everyone. Nadia Raymond here again, reminding you to check out the awe-inspiring Planet Money. Get it at npr.org/podcast and on the NPR One app.